Welcome to the I Create Daily podcast. I'm Leora Alderson.
And I'm Devani Alderson. We're your co-hosts on this journey of creativity and productivity.
I Create Daily is for artists in every genre of creating, from musicians to writers, crafters to inventors, bloggers to entrepreneurs. I Create Daily is a movement for creators serious about your art.
If you're into creating anything, this podcast is definitely for you. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey.
Greetings. This is the I Create Daily podcast, a movement for creators serious about their art. I'm Leora.
And I'm Devani. And we're joined today by Joshua Robertson, a best-selling dark fantasy writer and fantasy faction.
Yeah.
I got that off your bio. Sorry.
Fantasy faction. Okay.
You may recognize him as the dude whose dragons were said to destroy George R.R. Martin's and Christopher Paolini's dragons in a very biased Twitter poll. His first novel, Melkorka? Did I say that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Melkorka was released in 2015, and he has been writing fantasy fiction like clockwork ever since. Known most for his Thrice Nine Legends saga, Robertson enjoys an ever-expanding and extremely loyal following of readers. That's awesome. He currently lives in North Carolina.
Where we live also,
our home state, with his other half, who's also a fiction writer who we should have on sometime.
Yes.
And his goblin horde of awesome little creative kids.
Imagine what an interesting house that is.
Yeah, so welcome, Josh.
Yeah, thank you for the warm invite. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, fantastic. So we want to start by finding out how you got started. Like, how did you take the leap? Because you were probably working somewhere, you probably had a job, and at some point you decided to start writing. So could you just tell us how that all started?
Sure. Well, if we were to go way back, I actually started writing when I was really young. I was always a kid that had my head in the clouds and my nose in a book. but my interest actually started by watching my older sister write when I was really young, and I said I was going to give it a go, and I found that it really energized me and fueled my imagination. And so over the years, I've dabbled in that among a lot of different things. I actually finished my first novel when I was 17 years old. I had an agent when I was 17 and finished a book, but life kind of took its own course. Ended up going to college, getting my master's degree, getting a career underneath my belt. And through the course of my career, I always came back to writing. I was spending late nights writing when I wasn't working 60 hours a week. And I just pushed and pushed and pushed until I was finally at a place to put that first book out there and had some success with it. And I just kept going after that.
So what was your master's? Because isn't it something to do with child psychology and social work?
Yeah, I have a master's in social work. I'm a licensed master social worker. I have minors in psychology and sociology. I almost have a second bachelor's in philosophy. I've done a lot of work in child welfare. I trained for the military for a couple of years as a therapist for several years. I trained other professional therapists for a number of years. I've done a lot of work, about 15 years in child welfare and social work.
Wow, that's varied and colorful. I can imagine that some of that contributes to your creativity and your writing.
Absolutely. You do see elements of abuse and neglect and just the psychosis of the characters come through as I'm writing. And I try to show a little bit about not only what happens to children who experience abuse and neglect, but how that manifests as they get closer to adulthood.
Right. The different schisms of the personalities that develop.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you currently have 14 books on Amazon. That's incredible. And knowing that you have other business ventures as well that we can get into and kids, how are you creating the time to show up and do the work?
Well, I'm glad you guys find 14 books to be impressive. I always see that and think, damn it, Josh, you could do better. but to answer the question, a lot of it just has to do with routine and recognizing when I start becoming resistant to the process. I was pretty disciplined in writing when I was working full time. I didn't get a lot of sleep when I was doing that. As of last year, I am now writing full time. That's what I do.
Nice.
I still maintain my license in case I need to go back to social work. But it's been a wonderful escape from doing that type of work day in and day out. But now it's just getting up every morning and sticking to a routine. I got tons of alarms on my phone that go off regularly about where to post and what to do and when I should be writing. I have a nice support group around me to keep me motivated to keep writing. But all of us, amateur and professional writers alike, really the only thing that separates us is how willing we are to recognize resistance, whether it's I need to go get me a snack, or I'm going to go watch a movie, or I'm going to, you know, go play a video game for a couple of hours. It's recognizing that those are all things that pull us away from our craft and essentially saying no, and sitting down and banging away at a keyboard.
Yeah. Definitely. That's huge. That's why we created actually the I Create Daily brand, you know, the concept that, you know, it's the daily discipline, you know, and the daily practice and the habits that contribute to that, that make all the difference between the amateur and the pro or going pro.
Yeah, there is so much truth to that. To me, it's the biggest thing is keeping on with that routine and keep pushing forward with that, because it's very easy to get sidetracked. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't get sidetracked from time to time. Yeah, there's sometimes 30 days that will go by that I won't write a single word.
Wow.
And I'll get furious with myself and I'll sit back down to rebuild up that. And it's mentally exhausting to try to restart that routine over and over again. If you can keep at it, it's just part of your regular process and you feel lost by not doing it. But the moment you stop, it's like climbing a hill all over again in order to get back into the routine.
Yeah, well, it makes so much sense. It's like exercise. You know, if we do it every day, then our body stays fit. And if we don't do it for 30 days and we go and do the same thing, we notice, you know, how hard it is to get back to where we were. So yeah, that's hugely important.
Yeah,
it's exactly like that. Great, great reference.
Yeah.
So I had a question, actually. We know each other from various online writing groups, and we've sort of on and off been communicating over the years. And I know you and your brother both write, and you know, you have your own brands, but you also co-write with each other.
Nice.
And I would like to know the collaboration. And I think many writers and even just artists in general who want to collaborate on whatever projects, what does that look like? And two-part question on that is, the first part is, what are the boundaries you set when collaborating and writing and building a world with somebody else in that? And then the second part is sort of like, how do you work out the financial aspects of that?
Well, the financial piece is easy. We split everything 50-50. Mm-hmm. We discuss where revenue is going to go in terms of back into marketing or branding, any type of sales that result. We just split half and half. So it's a pretty simple process when it comes down to that. In terms of working collaboratively, that's actually a question I get asked a lot because of JC and I's work together. And to be honest, JC and I have a very unique relationship. We are brothers, but we've also always been best friends. So there's not much that we've experienced without the other one. Even from childhood, we told stories jointly. We were out in the yard playing games jointly. We were fighting, you know, imaginary beings with our sticks and saving the princess in distress. Through the process, we've learned to deal with each other a lot, where it's been, we're not necessarily uncomfortable with criticism. We're pretty straightforward with one another. We know each other in and out. I've been asked a lot to collaborate with other writers over the past several years, writers who are constantly messaging me saying, "Hey, Josh, write a book with me." And I always have to politely decline that because collaborating is really hard. I can definitely talk about the process, what that looks like with JC, but him and I communicate for an hour at minimum every single day, either on the phone or through video chat. We're constantly looking at plotting and planning and looking at critiquing each other's work. And in order to be successful collaboration, you have to be okay with knife in the chest, brutal honesty. I mean, I expect him to be my most critical one-star reviewer with everything that I write, no matter what I write. And I am expected to be the same thing for him.
That's such a good point, because I think a lot of times we get caught up in whether it's collaborating or building any type of relationship, because it goes into any type of relationship you're wanting to build. And in this context, the collaborative relationship, you're building something of quality. And so you can't both just be like, "Oh, that's great. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's awesome." You have to be like, "Okay, no, this is not your best work, or this is what we need to change." And yeah, that's just always, that's a fascinating process. And like you said, you can't just always be collaborating with everybody, because you're not going to work with everybody. You know, you have to find a system.
Yeah, I'm extremely blessed to have compatibility with my own brother in terms of writing. I don't think there's a lot of people who can say that. In fact, I've worked therapy for a lot of years, and I've found a lot of siblings that have huge issues with their other siblings. JC and I don't have that. We get along very well with one another. But yeah, we're extremely honest with each other. I mean, if you were to see the comments that he leaves on my manuscripts, they are brutal. He does not leave any colloquialisms behind. It is, he will curse me out and tell me what's terrible and say, you need to rewrite this and scrap that and what the heck's going through your mind. I mean, all those types of things. And we don't take it personally. We realize that we're bettering each other and helping each other become better writers. Mm-hmm. And so it's an exchange. It's not a personal exchange. It's saying, we know what works in terms of writing. You're not following the rule. Like, get back to the craft and do it the right way.
Right. Right.
That's amazing. Get back to the craft, right?
Right. So of the books that you have published, are any of those already published with him? Do you already have them? Okay. So is that like how many of them are joint or collaborative?
Currently two of them are. We have, and this kind of comes back to Devani's question too. The first book that we published together is called Annerfell. It's the first book in the Blood of Dragons series. And that book is based out of my fantasy world. So we sat down, we built this book or the idea, the concept behind this book since 2002. And it took us almost 10 to 12 years to actually sit down and write it. Wow. Because we were awful at working together when we first started. We spent, I kid you not, 7 hours writing two paragraphs the first time. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful two paragraphs, but it wasn't. But that's the first book that we wrote. It's out of my world. Currently, we're writing the sequel to that book, which will be out here in the next couple of months. And we're having a wonderful time writing that one as well. The second book that we have published right now is called Blood and Bile, and it's out of the Legacy series, and that's out of JC's fantasy world. Mm-hmm. So we both kind of have our own sandbox that we play in. Sometimes I come and play in his sandbox. Sometimes he comes and plays in my sandbox. And when push comes to shove, we follow the rules of whoever sandbox we're in.
Yeah, cool.
But we're very open and collaborative. We poke holes in each other's stuff and be like, you know what? You're not playing with your shovel, right? That's not how a shovel works.
Right.
Okay.
So. Oh, it's so beautiful. I just love this whole story because, you know, having kids and having homeschooled them for most of their schooling and incredibly creative, imaginative kids as well, and seeing all the stories that they created, you know, and how the play it was exactly like that. There would be times that our son Nikolai would be leading and then Devani would follow along in his fantasy world and then vice versa. And then there were times that it conflicted, you know, and they argued about who was going to lead.
Whose world are we in today?
Yeah. And then there was the blending of the worlds. And so what it brings to mind is the potential gift to children parents can have by observing those traits in their children and encouraging them to develop in some kind of creative outlet like that and together. So, you know, there's just so much potential, I think, in what you described on not just what you guys have discovered and arrived at through trial and error, but also for other people who are, you know, parents or young people who have siblings who they get along with. That's a wonderful, I mean, it's almost like, sounds almost like you guys are twins, I'm sure. Are you the older or younger?
I'm actually the older one. A lot of people mistake that because he's got a full grown beard and, you know, he's got probably about 3 inches on me in terms of height, but I'm 2.5 years older than he is.
Okay. So it works out. That's really wonderful to see.
But you are right. I mean, I seen this too when working with kids. There's so much important elements that we learn through the process of play. And a lot of kids, I think, in modern day society are losing that. They're not outside using their imaginations. JC and I would spend full summers playing a single game in a single world, and the plot was so intricate in these played, and they would just carry on day after day after day. And I don't see kids doing that. Even with my own kids, it's a fight to kick them out the door and say, go use your imagination, because they don't want to. They're like, no, Dad, I just want to watch TV. Nah, the TV's broke.
Yeah. I know. It's so huge because, you know, it's like you're exercising the creative muscle, you know, early on. And that is incredibly important. So yeah, I guess it is tough. But speaking of kids, you have three and your wife has three.
Girlfriend
has three. So
soon to be wife. we actually have 9 total together. I have, she has 4.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. We have our blended family. There's 6 that are here throughout the entire year, and then the rest of them all come during major holidays in the summertime.
Wow. Yeah. That's like incredible. So I hope that they can take some of your creativity and develop it, because what we've seen, you know, in parenting is one of my passions, as well as homeschooling, educating kids, regardless of whether they're homeschooled, you're still, as a parent, their primary educator. And it's like, recognizing early on that the traits that are there are those that are most ready and viable to be nourished, you know? So like the, you know, so that, like with you and your brother, that was there, the storytelling and the creative play was there for sure.
That's amazing. So you, so it's, what's really interesting about that is you've really been, whether you knew it or not, you've been working on your writing career all your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, it's interesting because I bet if you talk to a lot of people, that's probably the case. Like subconsciously, they're working on their creative career their entire life because they're thinking about it, they're dreaming about it. And most of the time, when you find somebody who knows like what their purpose and passion is and where they collide, those are like rooted passions. It's not just like, I want to quit my job and do something actually interesting. It's like, no, I liked this as a kid too.
Yeah. So, and I think that that's where sometimes, and this is not a topic on education, but it is that if kids are inculcated in fitting into the format of school and memorization, that's not the same area of the brain for creativity. So really, but if they dive into and begin to explore that creative world, that's really where they would live naturally as children. So there's a lot there for you working with your own kids. So you've published your own books, and for a while you had a publishing company where you published for others. So tell us, and you mentioned right before we started recording about some of the projects, you know, that you have always have projects going on. So could you elaborate on any of that? You know, what you're doing with publishing now, your other
projects? So for the publishing company, I've had that for 3-4 years now, something along those lines. We're actually still considered to be open for the next 6 months before we finally close the publishing company. We've slowly let authors go and give them some guidance on some best options for them, which I'll be honest, having a publishing company has been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, just meeting the talented people that are within that and what they have to offer. I really wish that a lot of them would have wider distribution so that more people could read their works. But it's been a real honor having that. But I found that there's some things in publishing that I know really, really well. I'm very confident about the things that I know. There's also things that I do not know at all. And so I decided to kind of just take a step back. Crimson Edge, which is the name of the publishing company, will eventually just become JC and my art imprint solely in our brand until we get picked up by another publisher and go that direction, which is likely what will happen. But trying to think, for publishing, in terms of what people need to know before they go into publishing is just being, like, if you want to open a small press, you just got to really be involved in the publishing world for a while before you start that process. And this is something that I wish I would have known before I started it. I learned a lot. I can't say that I feel like I cut like anybody short by what I did. I feel like Crimson Edge did really well. We pushed a lot of people along. We helped a lot of people out. We taught them a lot of things, but there's certain things that I wasn't very aware of, like trade shows and book fairs and selling publishing rights, like your first rights, your excerpt rights, your foreign rights. Yeah. And there's people there that really push authors ahead in terms of what they can make financially and just the distribution of their works in general across the world. And I was like, okay, I don't know how to do those things. So I need to step back and help you guys get hooked up with people that do know how to do those things. So I hope that makes sense. I'm very thankful to share that experience with us, but it was just like a point where it's like, things are going too quickly for me and I can't keep up with everybody else and I'm limiting their ability to shine right now.
Yeah, and it takes away from your own creative career, because even as awesome as it is to help those other authors, you're still, like, first and foremost, your writer. Yeah.
Yes, that is true. And I'll tell you, my better half got after me after that for a lot of that, because I would be spending 3 or 4 days a week creating content and doing marketing and pushing out other people's materials, and all my stuff was sitting on the back burner.
Yeah.
So I wasn't selling my books and I was pushing everybody else's forward, which, you know, hurt us as a family. Right. So there's definitely that too. As for other projects that I'm doing, I do write for Fantasy Faction now, which Devani mentioned in the bio. Fantasy Faction is, of course, a website that was voted number one by Reddit a few years ago for, like, the best fantasy website on the web. And that's been a wonderful privilege to write for them. I've got to hook up with a lot of great writers like Scott Odin and Mark Lawrence. Mm-hmm. I've been talking to R.A. Salvatore back and forth for a while now. I'm interviewing him currently for the website. So it's given me a lot of connections and a lot of, I guess, foot in the door to help me move on and get an agent and move into bigger publishing. I also work with JC on a Patreon called Rollcraft, where we create tabletop gaming tips and resources for people, where we create characters and monsters and dungeons and adventures based around a wide variety of different types of tabletop games. I can't use any name brands in that, just based on trademark laws. But people can use those resources and be able to apply them in their own tabletop games. We've had a lot of success with that. We just started that in the past couple of months. And I do a variety of other things too. Me and my better half run a YouTube channel where we are influencers for brands and we promote stuff through there. I also got my social media marketing certification, so I can do social media marketing for other people. I got a whole variety of things that I am always my nose in learning about.
So do you have any ADHD, or like diagnosed ADHD or self-diagnosed ADHD? Because you have a very entrepreneurial brain, which is not, and just, I know that from knowing you, you're always like trying this and that, and you know, it's, and obviously your main career is writing and you do that very well, and then you're also doing all these other things. So I'm just curious.
It's a really good question. I'll tell you that when I was in kindergarten, the teachers tried to tell my mom that I had ADHD and wanted to put me on medication, and my mom told them where to go shove it and didn't put me on anything. And I've been successful in life without having any medication.
Nice.
I personally wouldn't diagnose myself with ADHD, but I would say that I have a tendency to hyper-focus on projects and get them done in very short periods of time. Now, if you want me to go do the dishes or pick up milk after work, I'm probably going to forget about it because I don't care about it. but if I have a project that I'm working on, like a book, or if I'm building a gaming system, there's a good chance that I won't sleep for 3 days until I get it done.
Wow.
That
is some laser
focus.
It's
like, how do you... So
I'll stay awake for 70 hours just typing and working on stuff. I won't go to sleep until it's finished.
Now, is that like sheer determination, or you're just so stimulated by it that you can't even sleep?
It's just so stimulated by it, I can't sleep. I'm so awake. I'll go to sleep and all I can think about is I'll just be writing the words on the page. Like even when I run, I run, and it's like running's a meditation for me. I run every morning. I don't really feel the burn when I run. I just sit there on the treadmill and just go, and I envision writing and I write in my mind. And so when I get off the treadmill, I just sit down and put all the words down on paper that I seen.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I wish there are so many times I've actually literally fallen asleep at the keyboard, you know, my fingers on the key. And, you know, because I wanted to continue writing, but just fell asleep. So I wish I was able to push through like you are, you know, and not.
I'll be honest, I drink a lot of coffee. Coffee does help.
That helps, so, Yeah. Okay. So speaking of your 70 hours, you know, marathons or whatever, sprints, I should say, what are your daily habits? I know you said that there are about 30, you know, like you went for about 30 days without necessarily writing, but that's not your norm. Mm-hmm. So what is it that, you know, you're clearly a very productive human being, and that what is it that you do daily that keeps you creating, especially when you're in the mode of writing a book?
Yeah. In terms of my ideal process, what I try to stick to, I get up in the morning, I get the kiddos off to school. I go and I run my mile and a half. I lift a few weights. I go and take a shower. I make my coffee. I sit down and check social media, get my marketing out of the way. I call my brother for about an hour and we chat on the phone. And then I write for about 3 or 4 hours until the kids come home from school. And then I run through evening routines, help them with their homework, get supper ready, get showers done, go outside and play, go to the park, what have you. Sometimes I might try to squeeze in an hour of Skyrim in there. And then I sit back down and I write for another 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
I write for another 3 or 4 hours before I go to bed.
Okay, wow.
That's my routine that I do. So it's about somewhere between 6 to 8 hours of writing a day.
Wow, okay.
I have other projects to do, like the Patreon or something. I might squeeze that in there. So I'll take an hour or two to work on those projects, but that's what I try to stick to.
Right, so you're working on, do you work on one book at a time?
I usually work on one book at a time. Currently, I'm writing 4 at a time.
So what happened?
So you either write one book or all the books at a time?
Yeah. This is completely not normal for me. But I have a lot of deadlines coming up. I have my current sequel that I'm writing with my brother. I have a book that's got to be done for a box set in December. I have another book that's halfway done that's got to be done by the end of November. And then another book that's got to be done by May. By March, and then another one in May. So the one in March is already done. So the one in May I have sitting on the back burner and outlined.
Nice. So is there anything currently in your routine that you've had to switch up because of all those deadlines?
Mainly it's just trying to squeeze in Patreon, honestly. The Patreon is actually fairly time consuming because we're creating monsters and we're writing articles every week for gamers. Wow. So that cuts out about 3 or 4 hours a week of my time.
Got it.
So speaking of Patreon, I know most artists, creatives, authors want to know, can I earn a living from my art? You shared a little earlier that you recently left your full-time job and were able mm-hmm. to. So what are the top things you do that brings the best results, the financial results for your business?
That's a really good question. I think there's three things that you really have to do in order to be successful. And a lot of them took time to build up. I know Devani knows a little bit of my history, but I was a blogger for 2 years before I published even my first book. So I had a really nice fan base and following before I even started pushing content out there. Mm-hmm. For one, you have to be active in a community related to your business. And I've talked about this before, but ideally, and a lot of business folks will talk about this, I'm sorry if I don't know the resource, but you should spend about 30% of your time with people that you want to be like or people that you want to get to their level, and spend 30% of your time with them learning from them, letting them mentor you. You should also spend about 30% of your time with people that you see as being on the same playing field as you in terms of encouragement and motivation and pushing you along. And then you spend 30% of your time with people that you can mentor and people that you can teach. And I'll tell you, when I do that, I remember things that I should be doing because I'm telling them what to do and be like, oh yeah, I should be doing that too. Yeah. But in terms of being successful, that's a primary source. And that again goes back to habitual stuff in terms of just staying motivated and moving forward. The second thing that's worked really well for me is being really visible. Social media isn't the future, but it's now. Video marketing isn't the future, but it's now. Those are things that you have to be involved in. You have to be comfortable being in front of people. You got to be consistent in connecting with others through your social media. People spend most of their time online, and so you got to be there with them. And so I spend a lot of time trying to get on panels, trying to do interviews, being on Facebook Live, going on Twitter Live, being on Instagram Live, pushing content out through my newsletters, being active on my blog, going to communities like Facebook writing groups and engaging with people, because that allows me to have visibility and people see me. From the process of doing that, I've built up a pretty nice base around me. I have close to 10,000 followers on my newsletter. I have about 180,000 followers on my blog. I'm about 31,000 followers on Twitter. It's just constantly being genuine and interacting with people and letting people know that you're not just a writer, you're a real person. Mm-hmm. You have real thoughts, you have real feelings, you have real beliefs, and you're wanting to share those with the world. Now, if you're looking for something that's like, what's the thing that actually helps me make money? Advertising. Advertising is the thing that I finally decided to buckle down and realize it was necessary. Whether you're using BookBub or Amazon or Google or Facebook, I had to spend money to make money. And I'll be honest, I lost money in the beginning when I was trying to figure out how the ads worked and what the right text was and the right image was and how to put that out there. And the sad thing about advertising is what works for me is not going to necessarily work for you because we have different audiences. Mm-hmm. But I had to use advertisements. I had to essentially buckle down and learn the system and spend time with mentors for them to teach me how to use that advertising effectively.
Right. Well, and of those four that you mentioned, which one is the most productive for you?
Amazon.
Amazon. Is that the AMS, Amazon Marketing Services?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
You're the second person because, as you know, we've done several interviews and you're the second person who said, a second fiction writer who was like, yes, you need to do Amazon Marketing Services. So that's a good, we'll definitely link that for people listening. And one thing I wanted to touch on, and crap, the thought just flew right out of my mind, but you mentioned you were talking about the social media and spending the time in the various groups and you pick up with the next question.
Okay.
It happened. It just flew right out of my mind.
Okay.
You can bring it back to me.
Yeah, it'll come back. So one of the things that is most challenging for fiction writers, you know, Devani mentioned that you were blogging. You talked about blogging and building audience for a couple years beforehand. There is a challenge for fiction writers in blogging. It's like, what do you blog about? You know, do I blog about my book? Do I blog about the process of the life of a writer? So what about you? What kind of content are you creating as a fiction writer?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I moved away from focusing so much on blogging and putting more of that information in my newsletter. I used to blog little snippets of poems, little short flash fictions about my day-to-day, what I was doing. And that really helped me connect with the blogging community. Now I primarily put things up about special deals I have going on, or I help promote other people through my blog and share their work on my blog. I don't do the personal stuff so much on my blog, which honestly, I think has probably hurt me more than has benefited me. Mm-hmm. I'm able to focus more on connecting with people that want to get my content through my newsletter. And that's been a really good source of income for me, is connecting with them. As for a blog, if you want to be successful with it, I think you need to be more personal.
Okay.
That's good to know.
Yeah, definitely good to know. So in your newsletter, then what kind of content do you send to your folks?
I do let them know, like, upcoming events, if I'm going to be at a con or if I'm doing a book signing or what's happening. But I'll also tell them, you know, oh, man, this week writing kicked my butt. Here's what I achieved and here's what I didn't achieve. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the kids have been acting kind of crazy this week. Here's some of the things that we went through. I might also offer some tips in terms of writing or publishing and that type of stuff as well. Or I promote other people's books in there. But it's got more of a personal feel to it. I let them know, you know, here's this thing that I've been working on and here's how it's going for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So what, did you remember what you were going to say?
No.
I just evaporated. It happens to me too. This is why it's helpful having two. The other can pick up the slack. So what, you mentioned Joshua earlier, and do you actually prefer Joshua or Josh?
I've been called so much working in social work. You can call me anything.
Okay. Okay. So you mentioned the thing about spending time around people who are where you want to go, you know, is about 3% of your time. So essentially mentors and, you know, people that, you know, whether in that time, does that include things like podcasts and books? You know, like if you can't be with them in person or don't have that, does that count for your 30% time?
Yeah, any way that you can access it. I now am friends with some folks on Facebook, so I'm able to like shoot them a message and get information and connect with them that way. But ideally, this sounds really bad, so I hope people don't take it the wrong way. But when choosing what Facebook groups you want to be in, or not Facebook groups, like Facebook parties to promote a book, or choosing what podcasts you want to be on or what panels you want to be on, it's ideal to choose panels and events that have people that are at a higher status than you. That are more popular than you are, because it's going to help promote you to new reader groups and people that have already proven to be successful.
Right.
Which has been hard for me because I'm a yes person. Every time somebody's like, hey, you want to go do this? Yeah, I'd love to do that. You want to make this for me? Yeah, sure, I'll make time for that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that I've always made the best decisions in terms of where I put my time at. I've been trying to kind of just dissect those better and be like, okay, so is this going to help push me behind or is it going to pull me back?
Right.
Yeah. Well, that goes, one of our questions is, like, currently, what is one of your struggles? And I think one solution to that is just keeping in mind, like, what's the vision? You know, does this event help my vision of whatever it is I'm wanting to do or wherever I'm wanting to go? Whether it's, I want to go there in a couple years, I want to go there next month, I want to be in this place next week. And just like knowing, like it gets back to like when you write a book, I'm sure when you outline and whatever your process is for that, a lot of it is, okay, what's the goal of this story? How am I, what do I want the reader to experience and go through when they're finished with this book? And a lot of that, it's amazing how much of fiction writing or any kind of writing correlates to the process of your life. Like, where do I want to end up? Which can help with a lot of decisions along the way.
Yeah, we're all the heroes to our own story, aren't we?
Right. So
it is. It's planning out your hero's journey and where it is that you want to be. And there are certain things that you do that can break you.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
if anything, just from exhaustion, just from doing too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any of the mentors and or people that you follow that you would like to share, and like who has inspired you the most? And I know it's tricky because you don't want to exclude anyone because there are so many, but so maybe a simple way would be to, who is it that has touched you recently?
I'll be honest. I suck at these types of questions.
Okay. Well, we don't have to go there.
I have a few, but I mean, I'm inspired by so many different people. I'm always afraid of leaving someone out. This one is not writing related, but I'm extremely inspired by Emma Watson. I follow her very closely. I watch the things that she does and the projects that she does, and I help promote those to my own audience. She's just a damn fine person, and she has a good belief on the world, and she's a good person, and she wants to make the world a better place. And so I definitely look up to that. It's something that I also want to do in my own writing and use my platform for that.
Don't you love how she's basically Hermione in real life?
Yeah, exactly. Which I will say, psychologically, I wonder how much that role shaped her over the course of her childhood. But you know, bygones be bygones.
Right.
Scott Odin is another guy. He's a fantasy writer that I followed. Him and John Hartness both. Scott Odin, though, I had the privilege of interviewing him for Fantasy Faction. And again, he's just a really great guy. I love his writing and just the way that he strings words together. And so I read his stuff. I'm like, yeah, I want to make sure that my stuff has the same atmosphere to it when I'm writing it. But it just has beautiful language. I mean, I read his stuff and I'm literally like fist pumping the hell out of the air when I read his books because it's just so well done.
Nice.
Devani and I are in the same writing group. I know the other day, even people that aren't as well known, I listed out about 50 people that were inspirational to me that are just great, talented people. And the only reason I listed 50 and not more is because Facebook wouldn't let me tag any more people.
Right. Yeah.
So many people out there.
Yeah, and it's interesting too because one of my favorite quotes, two of my favorite quotes is one, promote what you love, you know, and you constantly be shouting out the things that inspire you, but also like realizing that a lot, if you surround yourself with the right people, you're going to just constantly be surrounded by people doing interesting things, whether it's the same thing that you're doing or different from what you're doing. You can find inspiration anywhere if you're looking for it, and you, whether it's online, whether it's offline, wherever you best create your community, the people that you're surrounding yourself with is so important, because there's going to be those days, like you said, you had a whole 30 days where you're like, crap, no words got, you know, I didn't put any words in, and those people are going to be like, you can do it, you know, you got this, and it's like your cheer squad, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So Joshua, what is it that stirs your soul with writing? You know, and it's so like we're kind of sensing that that's like your writing for you is the convergence of purpose and passion. What is your what is your why related to writing? What does it do for you?
You know, I think when I was younger, it was a place for escape. I think that's what I used it primarily for, was escape. I listened actually to an interview by George R. R. Martin this morning, and he was talking about how he was raised in a world where he didn't get to travel a lot. He didn't have a whole lot of money. He didn't really get to have these adventures that he's seen other kids doing. And I had a similar childhood. I didn't get to do a whole lot. And so writing allowed me to go on those adventures and allowed me to travel and allowed me to essentially live an entire world through my imagination. I, of course, had accomplished that through reading books, but there was something just intrinsically more passionate about writing my own stories and being able to take those same adventures. Another piece of it that I've noticed as I've gotten older is that I really like the legacy of writing a story. This is something of mine that is always going to be accessible to my kids. Mm-hmm. And for anyone that's read my stuff, I'm really big at including philosophical and theological debates in there and stories in there. I never tell people what the right answer is, but I like presenting all sides of the argument and seeing how it shapes people and moves them through the world. So you can then close that last page and go, how can I really apply this to my life? What does this mean for me? How can I become a better person based off this story that I've read, even though it's fantasy fiction? Yeah. And so I think it's become my legacy. It's just something I want my kids to be able to pick up and be like, what was Dad thinking when he put this together?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Amazing. And are you arriving at some of your own answers as a part of that process, or are you using some of your own questions, I imagine?
I think over time I have. I'm actually at a pretty good place in my life. I have been for several years. You know, I am pretty comfortable with my spirituality and where I'm at in life and how I see the world. And so I think it's more of maybe recapping the journey that I've already taken and what got me to where I am today. Cause a lot of them are questions that I asked for a number of years.
Right.
That's really interesting. Cause I was listening to an interview and I forget who said it. Actually, it was Brendan Burchard who said it on an interview with Lewis Howes. And he said some of the highest performing people, one of their gifts really is not teaching people what to think, but helping people think.
Yeah, and just having the critical thing.
Yeah, just like letting people, like saying, it's okay to think about that. You don't need to be told some answer about this. You should just think about it, you know? And here are some questions that might get that going for you. And so I think that's a real gift that you have. And I think it's important for more people to cultivate that in their creativity, whether it's writing or whatever you're doing. It's just helping your audience come to their own conclusions, really. And instead of, you're telling the story so that they process it. You're not saying, and this is the story, and here's what you should think about it.
Well, and fantasy is such a wonderful genre to explore that in, because fantasy fiction allows us to say what you may not be willing to say out loud or even publicly. I mean, you can't necessarily share this just in direct nonfiction because it'll be, you know, heavily judged by it. But in fantasy, you can do anything, and people are more accepting to, you know, contemplate what it is that you're telling exactly. And fantasy shifted a lot. I mean, if you look back at Tolkien, it was a lot of the black versus white, good versus evil. Mm-hmm. As we moved into the world of George R. R. Martin, where characters are more gray and there's not really any right or wrong or good or evil, it's more of action and consequence. That's the exact same thing that I've promoted in my own writings for years, is that it's not right or wrong or good or evil, it's action and consequence, and are you willing to live with the consequences of your actions?
Yeah, excellent.
Amazing.
So, Josh, if you could share, what would it be like one or two pieces of advice that you could share to aspiring writers that may have no books published yet or may have a couple that would help them in their journey?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you a little bit of something that I've shared in a number of different ways, even as a therapist when talking to people that were going through struggles, is that people oftentimes miss opportunities because of their own fear. I've spent a lot of my life leaping into the unknown. Sometimes I land in shallow water.
Yeah.
It hurts. But there are times that I plunge into an ocean of success, and that makes up for all the pain and suffering that I go through. And
that's beautiful.
I know it's hard to imagine, but dark times, we have to go through dark times in order for us to understand the good times or to appreciate the good times. You can't see that something is good unless you've had an experience with the opposite of that. Life just can't exist without contrast. And so regardless, your fear is not something you should be held captive by. It's an illusion. It's you being afraid of something that hasn't actually even occurred yet. And a lot of us live in the shadow of that. So my advice is spend your life trying to do what you love, and know that path to doing that is going to be extremely difficult at best. But if you don't go down that, you're going to risk not living at all.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's fantastic. There's a lot of quotables in that we'll pull out. Yeah, seriously. No, that's wonderful. I am interested, before we let you go, if you could just share, you know, what is your vision for your future horizon? Where do you want to go in your life with what you're doing now?
You know, I would really, if we're looking at writing, I would really like for my books to get out to a wider audience. I want to continue writing in my Thrice Nine Legends saga. Eventually, I hope to have 27 full-length books written in that saga, apart from short stories. Most of them are already kind of planned out. I know the next five that I'm doing right now.
Nice.
And I'd like to see those move on to, you know, even television, whether it's Netflix or HBO or something like that. That'd be a lot of fun to go down that path.
Yeah.
But I know that's a journey away. I got to get an agent and all that type of stuff first.
Right.
But in terms of just life, it's just knowing that I did what I loved and I was happy with it. And I was a good role model for my kids to, I guess, take the risks to do what they love.
Yeah.
I that's really what it comes down to. They've seen that, you know what, Dad was willing to risk everything and fight as hard as he could, not only to give us a good life, but also put himself first, which I don't think that parents necessarily put themselves before their kids. But if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to take care of your kids.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of mixed messages that parents offer children about, essentially, you have to be in pain and be hurt and not have a happy life in order for other people to succeed. And I don't think that's necessarily true.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's brilliant. Did you have anything else before we close?
No, that was awesome. You're just so cool.
Yeah,
you're such a cool person.
Yeah, you just hone in on the key points, you know, in such a clear way. So it's it's really fantastic. So we will share in the show notes the link to your author page on Amazon.
And your site, which is robertsonwrites.com.
Yes.
Are there any, is there any other way that that you would like people to connect with you or any other thing? Oh, and I will say, okay, people, please, authors need reviews. So go to Amazon, get Joshua's books, and then leave a review.
Yes.
So that makes a difference. Yeah. So anything else that you want to share before we go?
I suppose if people are really interested in reading my works, you can go to my website, which will be in that link down below, and you can click there and you can get 3 of my books for free right out the get-go.
Wow.
So you can grab the first book in my main series plus 2 short stories for signing up for my newsletter, where you can get the more personal side of Josh. And then, of course, yeah, leave reviews on those when you're done. I like to think that if I give a book away for free, I can at least get an honest review back for it. So
yeah, definitely. That's fantastic. We'll leave that link. Well, thank you so much, Josh. We'll let you get back to your writing.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Yep. Bye. Thanks so much for joining us for the I Create Daily podcast. Please let us know what creatives you would like us to interview and what topics you would be interested in hearing more about.
And if you enjoyed this show, please leave a review on iTunes. We value your feedback. We read all the reviews, and it just helps us get the word out on the I Create Daily podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.